What is up, Duke fans? We are back. The Duke Blue Devils are headed to the Elite Eight. It is a very, very exciting time of the year. Duke was able to defeat the Houston Cougars, the number one seeded Houston Cougars, last night in a game that was played in Dallas, Texas. Very, very hostile fans for the Duke Blue Devils, mainly all Texas people there. Duke still able to pull it out in a tough, tough, gritty game of basketball. Played. It was a Houston-style game. Duke was still able to come out on top. Gonna try to make this episode mildly fast because I know I'm getting this episode out later in the day, Saturday, March 30th, and Duke has a game tomorrow, Easter Sunday, against the NC State Wolfpack, a very familiar foe to get into the Final Four. We play tomorrow at about 5 o'clock, so I wanted to try to get this episode out quick, so it might be a little shorter than the rest, but just some quick reactions to this game, and then a quick preview of the next game. But man, well, what can you say about the Blue Devils in this contest? And I think it all starts with how this game began, which was awful for Duke. Houston was on fire as we started the game on a 6-0 run. Shire instantly called a timeout, which I think is one of the subtle plays of this game, decisions of this game, was to call a timeout that fast to get the guys' minds right. Houston was able to score out of that timeout to make it 8-0. And then Duke responded and was still able to take a lead into the second half. If you know anything about Duke, and if you watched it, nearly every Duke game like I have, you know that this Duke team sometimes has a propensity to start really slow, and sometimes it can get away from us, and it feels like we're always sitting here at the end of the games being like, man, if we hadn't just got destroyed in the first 5 minutes, we would have won. I remember the last Carolina game in Cameron, thinking, gosh, if we didn't have that first 5 minutes, Duke wins the game. And this one felt like one where, even though it was an 8-0 start, it felt like it was going to be one of those games where we're sitting here at the end thinking, if we had played better in those first 5 minutes, we would have won. But that's not what happened. In fact, Duke more than made up for it just in the first half, leading 23-22 at the break. Really low-scoring game. Even in the second half, it was a really low-scoring game. That's kind of how Houston plays. Houston, we've heard all week about how tough they are, how defensive they are. I think they were the number one team in the net rankings for most of the season, maybe even leading up to this game. I believe they were the number one in KenPom until their last game against A&M, which bumped them to the number two spot. So by some metrics, the Houston team that we just beat is the best team in the country. Now, I'd be remiss to say that Houston had a serious injury in this game. Jamal Shedd, who is, most people would say, is Houston's best player. He was injured with about five to seven minutes to go in the first half, severely sprained ankle. A lot's being made of that. How do we judge this game based off the fact that Houston lost one of their more important guys? And we can't ignore, that's a massive loss for the Houston team. Houston is not a deep team. They don't play a lot of guys off the bench that have that kind of experience. He's a Naismith Player of the Year finalist. It's impossible to look at this game without that angle. However, injuries are a part of this game. People tend to forget Duke is also missing one of its starters. Caleb Foster was starting even over Tyrese Proctor until he got hurt in the game at Wake Forest and hasn't been able to play again. He won't play again for the rest of this season. So Duke is missing one of its star point guards as well. Now, I'm not saying that loss is equivalent to Shedd's. I don't think it is. He's more important to Houston than Foster was to Duke. However important Foster was to Duke, this guy was Houston's best player, Houston's leader. And for him not to play for the vast majority of the game did have an effect on the game, obviously. But that's not in Duke's control. It was still an insanely tough game. Houston is still an amazing team without him, and nothing should be taken away from Duke by that injury. And I just want to shout out real quick how good the Duke players were to him after the game. There was a clip that's been going around of all of them coming up to him and kind of consoling him on the bench, just giving them their goodbyes. And it also, there was another clip even in the tunnel after the game of the same players going up to him and just getting some brief conversation with them there. Just shout out to the Duke players for being considerate of that, even after an emotional win where you're going to the Elite Eight, to have the character to go over and console an opponent is a big deal, and I love to see stuff like that. So good job, Blue Devils, on that. So, but now let's get to some of the breakdown of the game. So what we talked about with Houston, a big thing for them was going to be how physical we were able to play on defense, how well we shot the three, and I said rebounding was going to be a big thing for us to show how physical we were being, turnovers and steals. A similar thing there. So if we look at the box score of this game, a lot of the stuff we talked about that needed to happen did happen. I mean, we assisted the ball 14 times on 20 makes. That is a really good ratio. Only 6 baskets in this game for Duke were coming off isolation plays. Houston also, we had the exact same field goal, actually. Duke was 20 for 49. Houston was also 20 for 49. I believe a couple, if you look at it that way, a couple missed free throws and things like that. It might have been the key for them. And you know, a couple of ours were threes. Almost all of theirs were twos. They actually only ended up hitting 2 for threes in this game. Duke hit 6. But having 14 assists on 20 made buckets was a huge key for Duke leading into this game. And the way that they were sharing the rock and playing within themselves, not trying to do much on their own, was awesome to see. And we knew that Houston is a defense that allows you to pass the ball on them, and we did that very effectively, and that was great for us. And another thing, rebounding. We actually out-rebounded this Houston team 34 to 30. Specifically, let's see, I don't think it gives me that on the box score, but we were able to grab offensive rebounds, it does say. We had 13 offensive rebounds to 21 defensive. They had 11 to 19. Getting 13 offensive boards on this team is great, and keeping them from kicking our butt on the offensive glass was really good, with Duke able to grab 21 defensive rebounds. Houston is an excellent offensive rebounding team, and to keep them mildly at bay with that really, really helped us out. Other than that, we shot the ball okay from three. We shot 6 for 17, which equals to 35% on the game. I thought we were going to have to shoot better than that to win. However, I don't know if you guys have been following this on Twitter. There's been kind of a drama around some of the locations having balls with too much air in them, which is causing everybody to shoot worse from outside. And that seems to be a pretty convincing theory, because a lot of these teams that are pretty good shooting teams have not shot the ball particularly well in these particular arenas. NC State might be the team that shot it the best. They shot it well. They shot it well against Marquette. I think they converted about 39% of their threes, so that's maybe a little scary going into the next game. But Houston was only able to hit 25% of theirs, but they only went 2 for 8. They didn't actually shoot a lot of threes in this game. But we were able to beat them on the perimeter, which is something that was important. I did think we were going to have to shoot slightly better to win, but it was enough. It was barely enough. We won by 3, but it was enough. And other than that, we did turn the ball over more than I like. A lot of that was in that first 8-0 run. I think we started the game with 3 turnovers, ended up with 14 on the game to their only 10. So we lost the turnover battle, which was key to Houston having that big lead in the beginning. If they don't have that big lead in the beginning, this could have been a slightly more comfortable game for Duke. And steals, we both evened out at 4-4. But overall, if you watch the game, you have to be happy with Duke's commitment to defense and a commitment to pressure on the Houston guards, especially down the stretch there, man. And I just want to highlight 3 of those steals were made by Tyrese Proctor. Proctor had an awesome game today. His box score might not just like jump off the screen, but Tyrese Proctor had an incredible game. 2 of those steals, I believe, were on back-to-back possessions with less than 3 minutes on the clock. Duke up 4, Houston with the ball. So massive offensive chances for Houston. And they were actually shooting the ball at a high percentage in the second half. I mean, in the second half, they shot 50% to Duke's 46%. It was just that we were taking the ball away so many times from them. Proctor's commitment to guarding the team's other team's best player has just been inspiring to this Duke's defense. Just those two plays alone are huge, huge plays of the game. Who knows what happens if Houston is able to get shots up on both of those possessions. We might be talking about a tie or even Houston taking the lead if they were able to convert on a three. But we never got to see that because of how intense Proctor's defense was, and that's maybe the biggest highlight of this game for him. He was able to hit some big shots too, hit a three in this game. But Proctor's defense really stood out. Holding this Houston team to 51 points is not a task easily done. We have held every team that we have played so far under, or I believe, is it under 60 points or within 60 points. It's close to that. But all that being said, the defense from this Duke team has been remarkable within the tournament. Just been insane. Yeah, I'm looking at scores now. We held Vermont to 47, James Madison to 55, Houston to 51. We have held every team to below 60 points in this tournament. If I was a team looking at playing Duke, that would really scare me. If I'm NC State looking at that, that intimidates me because I think they need to score more than that and able to win. And the Duke team that is playing that well a defense on a pretty good offensive team. Houston, granted, is a defensively led team, but they were putting up the most points out of anybody over the first two games of this tournament and even later in the year. It's no small task holding any team to 51, let alone a one-seeded Houston in their home state, not too far from Houston in the city of Dallas. Awesome commitment to defense from Duke, and they were locked in. After that first couple minutes where they kind of got punched in the face, they responded in a way, and that's something I want to highlight too. Early in the year and even late in the year, when Duke was punched like this, we just weren't seeing them respond like they did in this one. It's the effort on the floor from Duke was crazy in all of these tournament games, and especially in this one where we needed the most effort. Everyone out there was giving it their all, including, gosh, you wouldn't tell it by the stat sheet, but maybe the player of this game, Ryan Young. Mark Mitchell had a not good game. It's okay to just come out and say that. This just wasn't his night. And it hasn't been his night for a couple games now. I'm hoping Mark can respond well and have a good game at NC State, which he's done in the past. But Ryan Young changed the complexity of this game when he came in response to that run. He gave Duke another big, and because Houston's bigs, their biggest player on the floor was 6'9", really stocky and strong, don't get me wrong, but they didn't have like a dominating 7-foot guy. And those seems to be the games where Ryan Young struggles. If there's a big that can take him out to the perimeter or just tower over him, he's not going to guard him that well. But when bigs are around his height, he has the bulk to be able to put up with them. And we know that his effort around the ball, around the rim, is spectacular. The way he goes after loose balls and rebounds, and his defense and his effort around the glass really affected Houston. They weren't able to get offensive rebounds. He was defending well. Ryan Young changed this game in so many ways, actually ended up playing more minutes than Mark Mitchell. And I think had he not fouled out, he would have even played more than what's on the stat sheet. They finished at Ryan Young played 23 minutes, Mark Mitchell 20. I think that number would have even been higher if Ryan hadn't fouled out of this game. He got a really sensitive whistle in this one. They were calling him on everything, things that I didn't think needed to be called, but that's just the way the whistle turned this time. We also talked about the officiating was going to be a big factor in this game. It was more so in the first half. Duke was able to get Roberts into trouble. One of Houston's best guy. Who was it? It was one of their big guys. I might be saying that. Yeah. Juwan Roberts, number 13. One of Houston's best players on the night. He finished with 13 points and 8 rebounds. Great for him. Had a good game. Only being outscored by L.J. Crier. Houston's point guard, kind of point guard after Shed went out. But we were able to get two quick fouls on Roberts in the first half, making him sit almost the rest of this, the rest of the half. He finished with only 29 minutes in this game. I'm sure they wanted to see him play 30 minutes plus. Foul trouble was able to keep him off the floor for just long enough for Duke to catch an advantage when he wasn't out there. And we knew that was going to play a role in how this game turned out, was how the refs were calling Houston's physicality. First half, they definitely were calling a little bit more. I thought they had some bad calls on the Duke side in the second half. But because most of our guys were able to stay out of foul trouble, playing a team like Houston, you're going to rack up some fouls. They're physical. You're going to get physical. But at the end of the day, I mean, Flip finishes with three fouls. Mark Mitchell with three. McCain got two. And then Ryan Young was kind of the only guy that was you were really worried about fouling out. And he did it with not a lot of time left in the game. So it didn't turn into something that really hurt us. But yeah, I'd say the way that we game planned was perfect. We knew that if we got them in foul trouble and we used their physicality against them, it could lead to a disadvantage for them in large portions of the game, and it did because of that. So great strategic planning by the coaching staff there. Other than that, I mean, this is just a tough, gritty game. When it comes to personal performances, you have to highlight a couple guys. I think the players of this game were the old guys, quote-unquote, the sophomores. In particular, Kyle Filipowski, Jeremy Roach, and Tyrese Proctor. Roach and Flip were the one who filled up the score sheet the most. Flip ended up with 16 points on 6 for 14 shooting, went 3 for 5 from the three-point line. We talked about that in our other episodes, how he hasn't been hasn't been shooting the three as much in the tournament, which I like, but in this game he took 5, was able to convert 3 of them. A couple of them very, very clutch threes. He actually opened the game for Duke by hitting a three over on the left wing. That started our night off. If he's making them, it's hard for me to say he shouldn't take them. He also got 9 boards, 2 assists. Great game for Flip. He has been highly more efficient of a defender in the tournament. He's physical. He's way more physical than he was last year. Great stuff from Flip this game. Responded to a lot of people that saying he wasn't scoring enough, wasn't doing enough in the tournament. He was Duke's star tonight, and he performed. Other star of the night was Jeremy Roach. And man, in the first half, it looked dicey for him. He had no points in the first half and finished with 14 in the game. First half did not look like March Jeremy was going to make an appearance in this game. Second half, he was all over the place. And he just made so many typical just Jeremy Roach buckets. I mean, just typical use a high ball screen, get into the lane, pump fake, make a big fly up, shoot a high arching mid-range that hits nothing but the bottom of the net. I think he did that probably 5 times, one of them being the most clutch shot of the game with about a minute 30 to go. Duke was up, I believe it was either 2 or 4, and he was able to make a kind of a dagger shot that really put the game more out of Houston's hands. They made it close on the other end. Duke couldn't like quite get the kill shot on the offensive end to put it at 2 and 3 possession games, and then Houston made an and one to cut it to a 3-point deficit with only a couple nine seconds on the clock. Duke inbounded the ball, couldn't score, so they had Houston had the ball down 3, but they stayed committed to defense, forced a bad shot, went out of bounds, still Houston ball. Houston at that point, with that little time on the clock, I think there was a little under 3 seconds left, felt like they needed to hit a 3. They got it to, I believe, Sharp on Houston's sides. Tyrese was defending him. He played smart defense, didn't foul. Resulted in a step back 3 that wasn't a horrible look, but that's a shot for a Houston team. You'll probably take that, and it hit off the glass. Flip was able to just chuck it, and Duke walks out of there with the win. But Jeremy Roach made some of the most clutch shots of the game. Flip made some really clutch shots too. Don't get me wrong. There was one 3 he took where he just jab stepped. I believe it was Roberts. Yeah, 13. He just jab stepped him like 5 times at the elbow 3, and you just knew he was going to shoot it, and it felt like one he was going to miss, but he drilled it. That was the time Duke was up 2-2. So that's one where if he misses it, Houston really feels like they have momentum to tie this thing. Houston did tie the game with about 15 minutes to go in the second half. Duke actually led the rest of the way. Houston, that lead was down to one at some points early, but even as the game got later, the Duke lead didn't shrink to anything less than two. Actually led throughout the duration of this second half after that. And then, like we've said, Tyrese Proctor, mainly on the defensive side, just hounded players, stole the ball in the most critical moments. This defensive team, this Duke team, has shown the ability to have timely defensive stops as well, which there's an old Shaquille O'Neal quote I like that says, you don't have to have a great defense to win a championship. You just have to be able to get timely defensive stops. And every time Houston had a chance to tie or even take the lead, Duke's defense came up really big and played smart, active, non-fouling defense. And that's something we're going to need to see if we want to really make a run at this championship moving forward. Other than that, the other guys had some good games. McCain had had maybe a more pedestrian game for his standards. Went 1-for-4 on three. I think he could have one of those threes was wide open. He'd like to make that. We're talking about a 10-point game from them. But he still was able to rack up 6 rebounds and 4 assists. Did turn the ball over 4 times, which is more than he does it. But listen, after the game he had against JMU, he just had to have a rest day, and he'll come up and light it up against NC State. And Mark Mitchell, if there's a guy you're talking about who had a bad game, it's him. Only went 1-for-4 on the from the floor. Finished with 3 rebounds, no assist. Just wasn't as effective defensively. Ryan Young just gave us something he didn't. And then offensively, he just made a lot of mistakes. Couldn't hold on to the ball. There was one dunk he almost had where he tried to dunk it with one hand instead of two, and it bounced out and he couldn't make it. Another one where he was fed the perfect ball and just shuffled his feet too many times and was called for a travel. That could have been a dagger dunk at the end of this game. I trust in Mark. I think he'll get better, but his performance in this game wasn't great. You just have to be honest with that, and we're hoping to see something better, and we'll need a better performance from him against NC State, as I don't know if the NC State game is as much a Ryan Young game as this one was, but an awesome win from Duke. This is just quintessential tough Duke win for a team that everybody called soft. It's kind of poetic justice that we face what everybody called the toughest team. I mean, everybody characterized them as tough, and for this team who. It's been said that they had no dogs on this team. It's been said that they were soft. For them to win basically not on a road game, but in their home state where there are a lot more Houston fans, for them to out-tough this Houston team is massive for this team. And he got to be huge for their confidence moving forward. I think that's all I'm going to say on this one. Quick breakdown. It's still like 20 minutes at this point. But let's move on. We're facing a very familiar foe, the NC State Wolfpack. Who would have thought a couple weeks ago that we'd be sitting here playing NC State with a chance to go to the Final Four? I would have felt awesome about that a couple weeks ago. Now I don't know how well I feel with the magical ways they've been playing with. Now I don't want to ignore that I do think they've had a favorable draw. And I hate, by the way, so much talk online is talking about how Duke got an easy path to the Final Four. I despise that. I think beating a number one seed Houston, how is that easy? Everybody thinks JMU was soft, but before the game, JMU was picked to upset Duke in a bunch of – Jay Billis picked James Madison to beat Duke. They just crushed Wisconsin, who was the 5 seed. James Madison also had a win against Michigan State at Michigan State to open this year. And so before that game, everybody says JMU's underseeded. They're underseeded. They should have been a higher seed. They're going to beat Duke. They're going to upset Duke. They're the best mid-major. And then we crush them by almost 40. And then everybody says, oh, this is the easiest path ever. So which one is it? And then we have to play Houston. And, yeah, the injury to Shedd really sucks for Houston, but you still have to beat the team that's in front of you. And Houston, even without him, is still an excellent team that we disposed of. So I hate that. But NC State, as much as I just said, I do think they've had a favorable draw. But once again, they've had to beat everyone in front of them. Their draw so far has been Texas Tech, a good team that they beat. Then they got Oakland, who is coming off a fresh Kentucky win. I think they would have picked to play Oakland rather than Kentucky. And they ended their Cinderella run to really get going on their own. And then they get Marquette, a team that I did say if I wanted a two seed in Duke's bracket, I think Marquette is the team I would have wanted to play as a two. And they apparently thought that too, because they beat Marquette handily, handily yesterday. It was a great game from them. Now, there's a couple things from that game I think Duke can take away. Number one is I thought Marquette's defensive strategy against State was not good. They were double-teaming Burns, and I'm not always opposed to double-teaming Burns, but they were double-teaming him when he was 10 feet out, 15, 20 feet out from the basket still, and that left a ton of room for him to pass and create. DJ Burns actually only finished with 4 points, and it was their goal to shut him down, and sure, they stopped him from scoring, but the result was DJ Horn and Middlebrooks and O'Connell and Morsell were getting all of these wide open looks. I mean, it felt like Horn was getting so many good looks in this game off of passes from DJ Byrne. And still, Marquette would have been in this game had they been able to hit threes at a decent pace. I mean, they had a terrible 3-point shooting percentage. I think they finished, I believe they finished shooting 12% from three. I'm trying to pull up the box score now. But they couldn't hit anything in this game, which was quite shocking for them. They're a team that doesn't shoot the three particularly well. But they certainly shoot it better than that. And yeah, it was 12% from three, and they shot a lot of them too. I think they attempted 25 plus, maybe around 25 threes, and only hit 12% of them. And had they hit a couple more of those, I mean, if they shoot 30% from three, they might have won this game. And that's, I think, kind of a pedestrian average from them. And it's not like, I don't even think NC State statistically has defended the three okay in this tournament. But if you watched Marquette, I just, so many of those threes were awesome looks. I mean, they were taking threes that's like, yep, that looks like a shot. It goes in, and it just bounced. And maybe part of that's the ball thing, overinflated balls. Didn't seem to affect NC State on the other side. I think they hit 39% of their shots, so kudos to them. I'm not saying the ball thing was an excuse, by the way. NC State was able to hit shots with the same ball. But Marquette just shot the ball awful from the outside. If they hit more of their outside shots, we're talking about facing Marquette and not NC State. So to use that and to translate that into what Duke can do in their game, one is be very careful when or if you double DJ Burns. I remember in PNC Arena when we beat NC State by 15, I believe, our strategy was to not double DJ Burns almost ever, let him get his, and just limit NC State shooters and outside shots. And just force DJ to make all those circus shots. Now, he made a bunch, and he probably will make a bunch again. But I like that strategy more because it forces everything to rely on one player for NC State. And if he has an off night or if he just misses some shots that are difficult, if we're shutting down everybody else, it's going to be hard for them to score points against us. Another thing that you got to do with Burns that Marquette was dreadfully not taking advantage of, and maybe it's because they don't have the personnel, but they were not making DJ work at all on the defensive side. He was able to pretty much just stand around and not guard anybody. Duke cannot afford to do that. You have to, whoever Burns is on, you got to at least set some screens with him, make him come out to the perimeter, just make him move, make him active, make him actively defend drivers. If we could get him into foul trouble, even better. But that can only happen when you're forcing him to play defense. And DJ is an awesome player. I love watching him, but he's not the most typical athletically gifted guy in the world. And if we can get him really moving on the defensive side of the ball, one, I think that's going to be a good matchup for us. I like any of our guards being able to break him down on the perimeter. And two, that's going to make him, that's not going to make him play as well offensively if he's worn out from playing defense against this Duke team. Yeah, so just big thing for Burns for me is be careful when and if you double him. You know, if he's way down on the low post and there are not a lot of passing threats, I'm fine with bringing a double team. But for the most part, I like single coverage on DJ Burns and just shutting down the rest of this NC State squad. Because what's really carried NC State to this point in the tournament is that the other guys on their team have performed in each and every game. O'Connell, Marcel, Middlebrooks have all had games where they have hit incredible shots, clutch shots, particularly from three. And if you're talking about Marcel on some drives, Marcel has had some awesome takes to the basket. I would rather let DJ go, put Ryan and Flip on him, let him cook a little down there. Let's see if he has an off night. But man, we better make sure we shut down DJ Horn. Because if both of them get going, then you're in trouble with this NC State team. If one of them's going, Duke can probably outscore them on the other end. Other thing I think is going to be really important for this Duke team, and we just talked about it with Marquette, hit your outside shots. I don't think NC State is all that great at defending the three-point. I think a lot of it was Marquette missing shots. Duke cannot afford to miss those shots. We cannot have a game tomorrow where we're talking about shooting 20% or less, God forbid, from three. Now, I'm not particularly worried about that because even with the quote-unquote overinflated ball drama, Duke still shot the ball 35% yesterday, and I think that can only go up. I think we actually missed some shots we normally make. And, you know, we saw Jared McCain in the second game at a location go crazy from three. If he starts having a hot night, it's going to be over fast. But Duke has to make outside shots, especially the open ones, which I think there will be a multitude of. Don't be afraid to shoot it. Play inside out with Flip as you have. Make the open outside shots. Keep passing the ball like you have. If you look at the deep stats of this team, the difference in them winning and losing is often between, like, what's their assist to baskets made ratio and did they out-rebound their opponent. If Duke out-rebounds their opponent, typically that means we win. And if we assist on more than 50% of our buckets, I think we've only lost one game when we've done that. Another interesting stat is we've only lost one game this season where we've been up at half, and that was at Wake Forest. Duke is really a second half team. Like, we typically play much better in the second half than we do in the first. So if you're watching this game at home, kind of a simple breakdown of how's this game going for Duke, I would look at what are we shooting from three? How do the looks look? Are we getting open looks and are we making the open threes? So you can kind of ignore the contested ones, but are we making those open three opportunities? What's our 3-point percentage at half? Another thing, how's DJ Burns looking? And it's not just if he has a lot of points, because he can have a lot of points and our game plan is actually working. What do the other guys have? What's their box score? And are we doubling him or not? And if you're watching too, if Duke's up at half, stats will tell you we're probably going to win. Now, nothing's guaranteed, and the tournament is the tournament. You're going to play increasingly good teams. But in theory, the team that we played in Houston should be easier than the team we're about to play in NC State. Now, you can't take a second off of them. I think Duke is going to have a lot of motivation in this game. NC State is the last team that beat them in the quarterfinal of the ACC tournament. To kind of send them into this spiral of player meeting, we got to get it together, and now they're on an Elite Eight with a good look at a Final Four. These Duke guys should be looking at this saying, we can get them back. They're the team that sent us home from the ACC. Let's send them home now. We started their Cinderella run. Let's end it. That's the message to this Duke team. We're the team that gave NC State life, I think, in the biggest way when they stepped up and beat us. Now it's time to end it. Now it's time to get them back. And with that, I think I'll wrap this episode up. I feel good about our chances, but we have to show up. NC State is playing with the most confidence of any team, I think, maybe other than UConn in this tournament. They believe they can beat anybody. They have a huge chip on their shoulder. Duke has to match that. Duke has to match the chip on their shoulder with everybody saying they're soft, everybody saying they can't make it, and facing a team that just beat us not too long ago. So with all that being said, I'll be coming at you with another episode hopefully tomorrow or the next day, breaking down a Duke win. I hope so. What a phenomenal thing that would be. But even just how great this run has been, getting to an Elite Eight with John Shire in his second year of coaching. People forget that, by the way. Still the guy's only second year. But these guys have stepped up. They've created their own momentum in the tournament, which is why I hate it when all the analysts and stuff pick the teams that win the conference tournaments and stuff like that. Statistically, you have to be able to create your own momentum. You can't really ride the momentum of the regular season into March Madness. Anyway, let's get them back. Let's get the Wolfpack back. It's been great seeing their run. I root for every ACC team other than Carolina, who lost, by the way, in case you didn't get it. They're not in it. Sorry to all my North Carolina people out there, if you're listening. If you've listened this far to a Duke podcast and you're a UNC guy, shout out to you. You're one of the good fans. But I root for all the ACC teams other than them. But now it's time to put that on the shelf. Send the pack home packing. And with that, we'll sign off. Thank you each and everybody. Thank you each and every one of you for listening. Appreciate you. Go Blue Devils.